I want to bring up some stuff we talked about last week. The first thing I want to bring up is talked about postures and respect, and really we could have talked about that in any week. We're talking about respect. We could talk about postures. We talked about standing. We talked about holding your hand over your heart. We talked about other outward signs that we use to show respect. And this morning we sang a couple songs. We sing them regularly. We have in our singing words that describe some kind of posture, like stand up or like bow down. And this morning we sang a couple songs talking about bowing before God. And we don't usually bow. Sometimes we stand. Sometimes we stand when the song says to stand. Sometimes we don't, because we know that, yes, the song is talking about really what we do as people, not necessarily that we're standing right at that moment. You know, like stand up for Jesus. You guys know that song. Doesn't mean you have to stand while you're singing the song. But then there are other times where we do those things, and we do them as a sign to God. We do them as an aspect of a sign of respect to God. I mention that because I don't, you know, it's not a problem with me if you don't remember everything I say. But what you're reading in here, you should be thinking about it. And I ended last week with challenging. You should be thinking about what you're reading beyond just the surface of the text, beyond just that one passage or what that one passage says. And last week I mentioned, we talked about Leviticus 19:24, respecting, not 19:24, 19:32. Rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord. One thing I didn't get to talk about, and this goes with the Isaiah passage I mentioned last week, one thing I didn't get to talk about is that this passage, Leviticus 19:32, is in the context of everything around it, is dealing with issues of justice. And for those people who are poor, you're supposed to leave a little bit of your crops so that the poor people can come and they can have food. And if someone is a widow or an orphan, you're supposed to take care of them. And we see those commands passed on in the New Testament. But there's all sorts of commands in Leviticus, all sorts of laws that were established that protected people. People who couldn't protect themselves and people who couldn't provide for themselves. And throughout most of history, if you were someone who is, who was older, then you had to rely on your family to look out for you. And many times, I mean, that's still true today. But sometimes if we have a big enough retirement fund, we may not have to rely on that. But through most of history, you had to have children to live with. And you had to have them take care of you and provide for you. So this issue of respecting those who are elderly was not just this because they're older, because they're wiser. It was a justice issue. And when people stop doing that, then that's an indication, and this goes back to the Isaiah passage, that's an indication that culturally, that those who are responsible, those who are in charge of things, those who are leaders, those who are supposed to be looking out and looking after things, it means that if there's a lack of respect for those who are elderly, that means that they are not providing justice. And justice is very important to God. We're going to be looking in First Timothy and First Thessalonians. And we're talking about elders this morning, not elderly, but those who are specifically elders. So this morning we're going to talk a lot about Tom and Jim. No, I'm just kidding, guys. We're not going to talk about you specifically. But we're going to be talking about those who are elders or overseers, those who are shepherds, those who are responsible for the well-being of the congregation of God's church. And in these passages, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, We get a picture and we get commands to respect those who are in those positions. I'll just tell you right out. We were given a command to respect those who are in those positions. But before we read the text, I want to ask you, do you guys remember, does anybody remember what our definition for respect is? Anybody say it? Show someone that they are important. Noah? By what you say and do. Awesome. By the way, I want to point out to all of the adults in here, I want to point out to all the adults that all of our teenagers answered that question. Yeah, Dominic was answering. Yeah, all of them. All of our teenagers answered that. Isn't that awesome? I should be seeing heads nod. That is awesome. That is fantastic. Thanks, Bonnie. That's cool. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Respect is showing others they are important by what we say and do. And so we're given commands, but not just 1 Thessalonians and 1 Timothy chapters 5, but also in Hebrews, near the end of Hebrews, we're given a command as well to respect those who are our elders, those who are our leaders in the church. We're not going to go into that passage this morning. But before we actually read those, I want to say that we're going to go to 1 Timothy, and even though the command is there for all of us to respect and obey them, I want to start with their responsibility. I want to start with their responsibility because I think this connects with the whole justice issue. This connects with respecting those who are elderly. This connects with looking out for the poor and looking out for the orphans and widows. This connects with all of these ideas of protecting others, and that is that the responsibility of our elders are to teach, to protect, to encourage, and to provide. That doesn't mean they provide everything, but they're the ones who are tasked with this tremendous responsibility that if someone is struggling, that they're making sure that we're walking alongside them or that they're providing help for them. If there's two people quarreling, guess who gets the privilege of stepping in the midst of that? Elders. Oh, that's fun. I bet they're just dying to do that. Every time we get together to meet and pray, they're going, who's fighting that we can get in the middle of some chaos? You guys know I'm being sarcastic, right? Yeah, obviously. No one likes to do that. But they're responsible to do things like that. They're responsible that if someone is teaching something that shouldn't be taught, that's not biblical, they're responsible to stand up and say something. They're responsible to know what they teach. Not everybody, we're told, not everybody should presume to be teachers because those who teach are held to a higher standard. In fact, I like the 1 Timothy passage. Francine, I forgot to put it on there. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 19, if you could. And verses 17 and 18 talk about elders, but we're not going to look at those right now. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19. You don't have to look this up. We'll have it up here. And you can just read it when she gets it up there. I'm going to read that for you, though. Verse 19. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. Well, I'm going to read the next verse in just a second. I'm going to read verse 20. But I just want to point out here, do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. This is Old Testament biblical, okay? If you have a serious accusation against someone, for instance, like they committed murder or any number of very serious crimes, very serious moral failings, in the Old Testament, you had to have two witnesses. Okay, but it's not just because that's the Old Testament that this is being brought up here. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses, because here are the consequences of accusations against elders. Those elders who sin are to be rebuked publicly so that the others may take warning. this passage has been abused sometimes in the church to say, like, you know, if some random person is committing sin and they're living in that sin, then they're to be brought before the church and rebuked. No, this is not just for anybody. You know, we can come before the church to repent. That's biblical. But we are not just to bring anybody up in front of the church and rebuke them in front of everybody. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about elders. And if they're corrected, if they have someone approach them and say, hey, you know, you've got this going on in your life, this is not right, this is not biblical, this is not godly, then they should do what we should all should do and repent of that. And if they don't do that, if they continue in sin, and in fact, the NIV says those who sin are to be rebuked. It's not just if you commit a sin. So it's not like Tom and Jim, you know, every week we have to bring them up on Sunday mornings and have you go through your list of sins. I mean, that's what we'd have to do if that's what that was talking about. It's those who continue in sin. It's those who are sinning. In other words, we've gone to them, they've had someone else correct them, whether it's their spouse or whether it's another elder or someone else in the congregation, and they ignore that and they continue on in living in that sin, then by the witness of two or three other people, they are brought before the congregation and rebuked in front of everybody, which is, I mean, could you imagine if that was you? I mean, think right now of your biggest struggle. Think of your greatest struggle, and you were brought before everybody and rebuked in front of everybody. That's hard. That's harsh. But it's supposed to be that way because these men, they are responsible for great things. They are responsible for God's people, and we know that God's people are important to God, right? All people are important to God, and these men are responsible for them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Now this first line, there's three things in this first verse here, in verse 12. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord. A lot of times we read that and we think, these guys who have this authority over people. But the biblical concept of leadership isn't having authority over people. In fact, Jesus says to his disciples, I mean, the guys, Peter and James and John and Matthew, I mean, Jesus says to these men, you are not to be like these other worldly leaders. You are not to lord it over people. You are not to take your authority and say, because I have this authority, you do what I tell you to do. That's not Christian, Christ-like leadership. Christ-like leadership is taking it upon yourself to watch out for or to watch over someone. Those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, that's those who have taken it upon themselves to watch over. This is the shepherding concept. This is the idea that they're looking out for you. In fact, in the first century churches, these would have been the people who sometimes they had money, maybe they had a house to meet in, they might have had education. And it's not just because they had all those things, but because they also took this responsibility upon themselves. We know that elders aren't, you know, it's not, we don't just pick a guy at random and say, hey, you be an elder. An elder is someone who once has a desire to serve in that way. And these would have been people in the first century church who had a desire to protect others. They had a desire to help others. They had this concept of God's grace and his justice so ingrained in them that they made it a part of their ministry, their lives, their service to God to do these things above and beyond. And so they worked hard for the benefit of the congregation. And they watched over the congregation to protect them and to make sure that things were going in that they were living the way God wants them to live. In fact, the next line then is, and who admonish you, or those who teach you. Now, the benefit of those in the first century church who were wealthy was that they would have an education, they'd be able to read the scriptures, they'd be able to read the Old Testament, they'd be able to read the letters that came to them, and they'd be able to then teach from those things, from the book. Most of us have an education, so we can all kind of, you know, we can read that. But these are still those who take it upon themselves to teach. And they're held to a high standard. We already saw that. It's not like these guys just get to go around and do all these spectacular things of authority and that's it. No, they get to go around and have all the stress. And they get to go around and have all the concern for those who are hurting and all the concern for those who are struggling with sin. And they get to have the privilege of confronting people. And they get to have the privilege of having difficult conversations. And they get to have the privilege of spending of their own time and of their own money and of their own resources. They get to have all these wonderful privileges. I'm making it sound good, aren't I? All right, who wants to be an elder now? Not me. Okay, well, work hard to grow in Christ, grow in maturity, and you can be an elder. But it's because of this sense of knowing how important people are to God that they're willing to do these things. And we are not under them. They're not more important in Christ, but they have a greater responsibility. And so we are to treat them the way Christ wants us to treat them. And this is God's will. This isn't just we are to respect our elders because they have more responsibility. It's not just we are to respect our elders because they work hard, although that's commanded in Scripture. Well, I mean, those are good reasons. It's a good reason to respect. Those are good reasons to respect Tom and Jim and other elders. But we do these things because this is God's will for us. It's God's desire for us. And this is all throughout Scripture. That God's desire is for us to show respect to those whom he has given responsibility to other people or over other people. All throughout Scripture. This is a big deal. In fact, there's a story in the Old Testament. Moses is leading the Israelites. I love to read about Moses and the Israelites. I love to read about all the kings and the Israelites. Because you can look at them and feel good about yourself because they were just terrible people. That's a joke. But you can see yourself in them because all the ups and downs and all the ways in which they obey God and then disobey God immediately following. And Moses is leading the people, and the people have seen God do these amazing miracles, and boy, they have a short-term memory because, you know, shortly after God has done all these great things and he's shown the people that Moses is his chosen servant, Moses is his mouthpiece, Moses gets to meet in the presence of God. I mean, Moses gets to do all these great things, and shortly thereafter, some of the other family leaders and some of these other guys who were responsible for overseeing lots and lots of people, they started to complain, and they started to say, well, who are they to have any kind of say or any kind of authority or any kind of decision-making process? Who are they to say what we're supposed to do? And they started to complain and grumble, and they got together, and they started to rile people up, and then things weren't so good because, you know, God being God, he knew what was going on. And he started to judge them, and people started dying, and this was not good, and this was bad. And Moses prayed before everybody, and God revealed to Moses what the situation was and why his judgment had come upon the people. And so, and those leaders, they started to complain publicly, and you know, but they were still a little bit afraid because, I mean, God is God, and they were afraid of God, and but they were still wanted to complain against Moses because they didn't like the way he was doing things, and so what happened was that these men, they were singled out by God, and their families and their all their possessions, the earth opened up and swallowed everything. And that was the end of that. Even those who are leaders are to show respect to leaders. How much more then should we show respect to those who are leaders? And it's not because these men are without fault. It's not because these men are without sin. Moses, he did a lot of things that weren't so good. Maybe not a lot, but he did a few things that weren't so good. He disobeyed God a few times. But we show them respect because God has said they represent me. They represent me. And we choose to respect them because we respect God. And we choose to respect others because we know how important they are to God. And because we know how important they are, we show them that they are important by what? I heard a whisper. By what we say and do. And the first thing that we can do, the first and most important thing that we can do, and I know you're going to be like, you're either going to nod your head or roll your eyes. You're going to nod your head in agreement, or you're going to roll your eyes because it seems like this is like blow off kind of thing. But the most important thing you can do is pray regularly for your elders. That is the greatest way that you can show respect for them. First and foremost is pray for them regularly. And some of you are like, yeah, I mean, we know that's important. And others are like, but that's kind of, you know, like, well, when I pray for someone, you know, I know prayer is important, but what can I do? You know, what am I supposed to do with my body? Well, you know what? Pray with your body. Get down on your knees and pray for them. Stand up and raise your hands and pray for them. You can actually physically do something while you're praying for them. But pray for them. It's important. It's huge. It's vital. It's necessary. And I guarantee you don't have to tell them you're praying for them. It's not like every week on Sunday morning you need to go up to them and say, you know, Tom, Jim, I just want you to know I prayed for you this week. You don't have to do that. In fact, I encourage you not to do that. You know, they'll probably be like, well, thank you. Did I do something wrong? Or that's very kind of you. You don't have to tell them you're praying for them. You don't have to do it every day, although I'm sure they would appreciate that. They might appreciate it once a week, or maybe if you're just thinking about them, praying for them. But when they have to teach, and when they have to make decisions, they don't take these things lightly, and so they need you to be praying for them, to encourage them, to praying for their growth, praying for their understanding, praying for their strength. These things are actually important. I see and hear, and I've even said it sometimes, the phrase, prayer works. You know, trying to convince people that they should be praying because it works. And that, yes and no. Prayer does work. It works on you. But it's not like we go, you know, I'm going to pray about this thing because I know that when I pray about it, then what I want is going to happen. That's not how prayer works. But prayer, so, you know, yes, that's a good phrase, but prayer matters. prayer matters. And sometimes it's publicly. You know, sometimes, I still remember when I was in junior high, the first time that I recognized an adult praying for me by name. I know my parents did it. I know some of my family did it. I know it happened before, but this is the first time that I was following Jesus. I'd been baptized. I was trying to learn. I was trying to grow. And a small group leader prayed for me by name. They didn't just pray generically. They didn't just pray generally. They prayed for me by name and mentioned my name out loud in the group. And I'll tell you what, that made an impact on me. Because it showed me that I was important. And they showed me that by what they said. Pray for these men by name. And sometimes that's out loud and in public, but you don't have to do it that way. Pray for them by name in private. But pray for them. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. We won't get into that live in peace with each other, but I just like to say that makes the job easier. In fact, Hebrews talks about that a little bit. When we get along with each other, it makes the elders' responsibilities so much easier and so much better. And so much more enjoyable. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. What else can you say or do to show these men that they are important? I gave you the first one. That's the easy one. I know it's the Sunday school answer. Thanks a lot, Christian. But it's important. It matters for the health and growth of this congregation. It matters for their health and their growth. It matters for their families. It's important. So if you don't think of anything else, start there. If you're already doing that, though, what's the next step you can do? What's the next thing you can do? Obey. Yeah, that's the thing about elders is a good elder, they don't, they're usually pretty humble and they don't go around telling people what to do. And I don't see these guys going around telling people what to do. Maybe you do, I don't know. they're not walking around saying, hey, you do this, you do that. I mean, you're right, Dominic, you're absolutely right. That's a correct answer, but it's hard to kind of see that because we don't see them going around doing those things. And yet there are times where they need to speak for all of us and they need to speak to all of us as a group and we need to listen to what they have to say and listen to that in light of God's word, and we need to take that and we say, okay, together we need to follow this and that would be obedience. But for most of us, it's going to be other things. It's going to be small things. Maybe, let me give you one idea. And I gave you this idea. I was going to use an illustration, then I cut it out, and now I'm bringing it back because I want to give you this as an idea. And I cut it out because I don't see this happening right now, and that's a good thing, this illustration I'm about to give. I don't see it happening right now. But I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen here. I've seen it happen at other churches. I've seen it happen most places. And that is, we show others they're important by what we say and do, right? Well, one way of respecting others, one way of showing others that they are important by what we say is not necessarily to them, but about them. I had a business dealing recently, and I was talking to a couple other guys about this work that was done in my house, and the work was not up to my expectations, and I was kind of flabbergasted and ridiculous. So I was telling them about it. But I didn't mention the name of the business. I didn't mention the name of the person. But I realized that in telling them about this experience, and of course, had I mentioned the name, that what, you know, about this bad experience, what would that have done to the business's reputation? It would have knocked it down a few notches, at least for those couple of people. But even just in talking about it, what I'm doing is I'm saying these bad things about that situation. Did I need to do that? No, I was a little frustrated. It just happened. I didn't need to talk about it. I'm glad I didn't mention the name. I'm glad that I didn't do that. But what happens in churches is sometimes when we're disappointed in something, sometimes when we're frustrated with someone, sometimes when we just, you know, things aren't going the way we think they should be going, we talk to people about those things. And sometimes we talk to people who aren't in the church about those things. Yeah. And sometimes what we say are negative things. Even if we, you know, we're not trying to be hateful or spiteful, although that happens too. We're not, you know, we may not be trying to damage anybody, but we go and talk about what so-and-so said or did or didn't do. We go and talk about, and we say those things, we share those things, and that reflects poorly. And that's not respectful. And so we don't. That's just one idea. We show our elders that we respect them maybe by not saying certain things to other people. And then of course we could do the opposite by saying, by what we say to other people about them. We say encouraging things. By the way, people really benefit from this. Not when they hear necessarily directly from us, but people are really encouraged when they hear from someone else that we were talking about them in a good way. You know, why are you talking about me? No. When they hear that we are saying this positive thing, boy, that's so encouraging. How can you respect your elders? We're going to stand, we're going to sing. And as the band's coming up, I just want you to think about that. Maybe start with prayer. And if you're already praying, then what's one more thing you can do? What's another way you can show them respect? It can be really small. It can be something that they don't even see, but still shows them respect. And of course, we do all of this because I've said this before, and I don't know, I feel like I say it the same way every week, but everything we do has to be shaped by Jesus Christ on the cross. And if we don't think in those terms, we don't think in those ways, then we're gonna start living in ways that are contrary to God's word, are contrary to His will for our lives. But when we start and finish with the cross, when we start and finish with Jesus' sacrifice, with God's grace and His love and forgiveness for us, then that shapes the rest of our lives and helps us to live the way God wants us to live. It helps us to show respect to others. So as we sing, let's submit ourselves to the cross.